Last week, on a regular lunch day in southern Wisconsin in a restaurant, they got quite the surprise. Because out of the blue, the front window of the restaurant shattered, and what came through, no one expected. It was a deer. A buck. For those of you who like bucks, it was a six-pointer, from what I can tell. And it came barreling down through the restaurant, and there were about two dozen people. They all screamed, got out of their seats, and began to scatter, going to all the exits they could find to get out of the way of this crazy deer that had come through. It went through the restaurant. It went behind the counter. It went into the kitchen. One more. Let's see. There it is. Until an employee was able to open the back door and the deer ran back out into nature. Can you imagine being there? You're just in the middle of your conversation, eating your noodles. This is a Noodles and Company restaurant. Having your conversation, and all of a sudden your lunch was crashed by this deer. What an amazing time that was. But, the company figured out a way to bring some marketing into this. They said, okay, well, the next day we're going to reopen, but we're going to have a special called the $2 mac and cheese so that you can save a lot of dough. I'm not kidding you. That's not even my joke. It's their joke. I was like, I have to use this. This is perfect. Now, my question is, who had the most trauma in the situation? Was it the people? Because here they are, they're having their lunch, and you know, the window shattered, and they had to run out screaming from this deer that's coming through. I imagine there might have been a little bit of a startled heart rate going up, but they got out of the store. They probably had a great laugh about it when they realized the deer was gone, and they might have gotten some free food coupons. I don't know what they got out of the deal, but a good story for sure, right? I don't think they were the most traumatized. How about the deer, right? The deer is just kind of running around and it's doing its thing and crashes into a window and it has a 30-second portal into the human world. Like, wouldn't that be scary for a deer? Like, what? They're running and screaming like, what is this place? And he's just running through, right? But I think the deer got out the backside and their memory isn't probably very long. He's probably forgotten about this completely by now. I think the most trauma happened to the front window, right? It got crashed into 1,000 pieces. Its world was shattered that day, and they had to sweep it up into a dustpan and throw it away and replace it with a whole new window. I mean, hey, like, that's not fair. There is a lot of shattered glass in our world. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that was created to be good. God's intent was the world was good. He spoke it into being and pronounced, it is good. And then sin happened. On the third page of the Bible, everything fell apart. Sin entered the world, and with it came sickness and death. With it came pain. With it came broken relationships. With it came shame on the soul. With it came a separation from God. With it came Satan's deceit and power and destruction. There is a lot of brokenness in this world. I don't think I have to convince you of that. You feel it. I feel it too. We all today could identify ways that our world feels like shattered glass, and we don't have to look very far in the news either to see it. Things that are going on around the world, things that are happening in Israel and Gaza, the wars there, the tensions that are flaring up all over our country. There's lots of broken glass. Today is the eighth message in our series called Transformed, and we're looking at how the power of Christ has come into our world and has transformed us. For those of us who have come to believe in Christ as Savior, there's been a miracle. There's been a transformation that's happened in our own hearts. And as we have trusted Him, that miracle has happened, and now it's working its way out into every area of our life. And I just, for one, want to say I'm so grateful for the transforming power of Christ in my own life. Can anybody say amen with that. That he's worked in your life in a way that you are not the same person as you used to be. And though we continue in a broken world, we don't go through it alone. We go through it with a Savior who has died for us. We remembered that this morning, a Savior who has died for us, who has paid the price for sin, and a Savior who has risen from the dead victoriously with victory over sin and death and Satan and sickness. And we know where we're going one day, to a place where it's all going to be perfectly restored, just like it was when it was in creation in the Garden of Eden. Who's ready for that day? I'm ready. Like, the older I get, the more I'm like, okay, Jesus, yeah, you can come back now. I'm ready. But he breaks into our world even yet today and brings healing. We're in Luke chapter 5, and we're going to look at a story of Jesus. It's really a story of Jesus as he encounters a man with leprosy. I'm going to say a few words about leprosy. Leprosy is a disease of the skin. You probably heard about it before. The main root of the disease is that it begins to make your body lose feeling. So bit by bit through your body, your fingers and your hands, your toes, parts of your arm, you lose feeling. And then with that, you don't feel if you get a cut. You don't feel if it's hot, and your skin can get burned, or you can have things that don't heal well. There are open sores that develop on your skin, and it turns white. And with that, then it can progress to the point where you lose fingers, you lose toes, you lose your leg, you lose your ears. It can progress in a way if left untreated, and it can be contagious with prolonged contact with someone else. Now, it stands to reason why in ancient cultures, when they had no way to treat this disease, the people who had leprosy were not allowed to be around people who were healthy. It was a transferable kind of disease. You couldn't have that around the regular population, or else everyone would begin to have leprosy. And so even in God's own word, he has laws in the book of Leviticus about people who have a skin disease of any kind, that they have to go to the priest and they have to inspect it. And if it looks like it's a skin disease that is contagious, the person then has to leave the camp, leave the city, leave the village, and live outside. It was like social distancing on steroids before there was ever COVID, right? You guys following my drift? Like, it's not that you just had to stay 6 feet apart. It's that you couldn't be anywhere near the society again. Imagine what that would be like for you. That one day you were told, okay, you have a disease. It's not treatable. You've got to move away now from all the rest of the people that you know. If you're married, you can't ever hug your spouse again. If you have kids, you can never tuck them into bed again at night. If you have a job, you got to quit. You got to move out. Wherever you worshiped, you can't go there anymore. Sitting at a dinner table with other people, like, that just would not happen anymore. Your new community were other people who had sicknesses like you. And whenever you came near anybody, you had to say, unclean, unclean. And they would move away from you like you have the plague. What would that do to your heart? What would that do to your emotions? You feel like you're marked, that you're no longer lovable. You begin to wonder, what did I do in my life? What did my parents do that somehow I have this punishment from God, and others are wondering the same thing about you? You're no longer welcomed. You no longer have closeness with other people. And your world is shattered while everyone else's seems like they're going on just fine. That is the life of the man Jesus encounters here in Luke chapter 5. We're going to pick up in verse 12. It says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Some translations say full of leprosy. That means it was well advanced. It had been going on for years. This wasn't just like just last week. He had been suffering for a long time. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. And the words from the Savior that carry the authority of the same words that spoke stars into existence. He says, "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. That's power. That's authority. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone. Don't go around talking to other people. But right now, do this mission. Go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." This was to fulfill the law that God had given, that he could be declared clean, that he could be brought back into community again. And says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." I don't know about you guys, but I love to read these stories about Christ, what he was able to do, what he is able to do with just a word, and that people, crowds of people, would come to him and he would heal their diseases. And you just go, Jesus, would you do that again in our day? Do you have a longing for him to bring healing to you or to someone you know, someone you love, the people around us? This is what Jesus has the power to do. Now this man, what I find fascinating is here he is outside the camp, but he hears that Jesus is in town, and he comes right up to Jesus. Right? He broke the expected barriers that he should have stayed back. He should have stayed away from the crowd, but he comes right up to Jesus, not close enough to touch him, but comes right up to him, and he falls on his face before Jesus. This man is desperate. He had heard about Jesus somehow, somewhere, and he knew his one chance to be healed was to come to Jesus. He didn't care about whatever others thought of him. He came to Jesus, put his face on the ground, began to beg, and like "Lord, I know that you are able. I've heard about you. I can't go on living like this. Lord, if you are willing, will you heal me?" There was a desperation in this man's heart. I think we can relate to his desperation. I mean, maybe we don't have the same disease. Maybe we don't have leprosy of the skin. Maybe we do have a skin disease. Maybe you're here today and you have something like that and you want to try to keep it covered up all the time. Or maybe you have another kind of physical ailment in your life. Maybe you have an injury that requires surgery coming up. Maybe you have some sort of a chronic condition in your body and you've brought it to Jesus many times and he has not yet chosen to heal you. Maybe you have something new, a diagnosis. Maybe there's something you're going through right now that you would love for Jesus to heal in your body. Maybe you're just here today and you're sick. You're like, I would love to not be sick today. We have these kinds of things in our life, broken glass. We feel the shattering of the world around us that came because of a result of sin. Before sin, was there any sickness or injury? No. It's as a result of the fall, and we live in a broken world, and our bodies are experiencing that. And some of you who are going up and along in age, you're like, oh man, like, yeah, it's piling up. Like, I have injury upon injury, and like, I wake up one day and my left knee hurts. You're like, well, that's going to hurt the rest of my life. Like, great. You know, you just feel it. It starts to accumulate on your body. There's other things that we have in our lives, too. There are injuries and hurts of the soul, our emotions, things that have happened to us, things that have been said to us, things that have been said about us. It can be the wounds that we carry are ones that could date all the way back to our childhood. It could be the home we grew up in. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be so-called friends. It could be frenemies. Could be things that happened to you in school. Could be things that that happened along the way that was out of anybody's control, but things that have hurt you. It could be something that happened in your workplace. It could be a failure. It could be an embarrassment. It could be just some reason you feel less than other people. There are lots of things that happen to us in our lives. We all have brokenness. We may be grieving things that we've lost. A dream we lost. Maybe you just moved recently and it was hard to say goodbye to people and you're starting over. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe it's like a thousand cuts, a lot of small things, but they just add up and you just kind of feel like the load is unbearable. There are a lot of people walking around who are carrying grief, carrying loneliness, carrying sorrow, feeling unloved, feeling unworthy. And then there is a leprosy of the spirit. All of us have the disease called sin. Scripture describes our disease of sin as something that all of us have. It's a brokenness that is a result of the inherited nature that we have in us that just keeps bubbling out. It's the inherited sin nature that no matter how hard you try to stop sinning on your own, you can't. And if we were to have a replay function of our life, I don't know if you could imagine, like, if somehow there was a video recording of every moment of your life and it came, like, with your brain's thoughts and through your eyes. Imagine if there was a recording of the worst moments of your life and it was put together and shown on a big screen in front of a lot of people. Like, imagine that. All of us would be incredibly ashamed to have our life broadcast in front of other people. Because what's down in here, we all know. We all know there's brokenness. But you know who else knows it is God. He sees everything. He knows everything. And so left to our own in front of God, we have no chance of looking healthy, appearing healthy. No matter how many good things we try to do to outweigh the bad, we'll never get there. Scripture says that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. Our best attempts still are filthy dirty in front of God. We can never make up for it all. And so our consciences are weighed down by our sin as well. Brokenness. Left up to ourselves, we'd never be worthy to come before God. Left up to ourselves, we'd never be able to hope for some sort of acceptance from him. Left up to ourselves, there's no chance of us ever going to heaven. Left up to ourselves, who are we to come before him? Just like this man with leprosy, who are we to come before the Savior? Our best shot is a plead for mercy from him. Broken glass, broken glass, broken glass. Back to the story. This man with leprosy, he felt all of that. He felt physical brokenness, obviously. This man felt emotional and in his soul and his mind brokenness because of what the pain he was experiencing in his soul. Spiritual brokenness, wondering if God even loved him, knowing his own sin. Is this a judgment on himself? And here he was on his face begging Jesus. And Jesus had a lot of options about what he could do. Here he is, the guy's right in front of him, just a few feet in front of him. Imagine him on the ground. Imagine people watching. It would have been entirely right by the law for Jesus to say, "You're too close. You need to back up. You need to go away. All of us, let's move away. Don't get too close to this man. He is unclean. We do not want to be unclean with him. So let's just back up. Hold everything back for a minute." He could have called this man out and said, "You have no right to be here. You're breaking the law." He could have said, "And I know everything you've ever done in your life, and you deserve way worse than this." Jesus could have condemned the man. He could have judged the man. Or Jesus could have had compassion on him and just said, "You know what? Let's just do over. This never happened. You just go on. I care about you, love you, but your best thing for you to do is just keep going. Just keep persevering. Just go on your way." Or Jesus, if he had compassion on the man, could have said, I want to heal him. I see his faith. I see his condition. I see his desperation. I want to heal him. And just like he's done in other cases, he could speak a word. And the man could be instantly healed because Jesus has that kind of authority and power. But that's not what Jesus did. Did you see it in verse 13? What does he do before he heals the man? Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Okay. Probably touched him on the head, touched him on the back maybe, or on his arm. Maybe even touched the leprosy itself. Jesus broke through every barrier of the law, every barrier of people's expectations, every barrier of the man's own shame in front of Jesus with his face to the ground. And Jesus did something that that man had not experienced in years. Physical contact. Jesus was touching his diseased skin, and in doing so, he was actually touching the man's soul. What was Jesus communicating? I see you. I understand your pain. I understand the rejection and abandonment you have felt. And I care about you. And sometimes I think we're afraid that our sickness and our disease and our leprosy is going to make Jesus sick, but it never works that way. When Jesus comes to us, his purity, his wholeness, his healing touches us. We can never make Jesus sick. He can make us well. And he spoke life into this man. Before he even healed him, he touched him, restoring him to the community, restoring his sense of worth, restoring him back to relationship, saying, God loves you. He knows you. You are valuable to me. And then he spoke the words, be clean. And instantly, the man's sickness was gone. Jesus healed him, body, soul, and spirit, all in one. Isn't that an incredible thing that Jesus did here? In Luke 5, so many times as we look at the healings Jesus did, it was not just about the one thing, the presenting issue. It was about all of it. Jesus knows how to heal us. Not on just one level, but all levels. The amazing thing about Jesus is that he doesn't just take broken glass and get a bottle of glue and begin to glue this piece together and find this piece, put glue and this one together. Jesus is able to do miracles that put the window back together as if it never broke. Jesus is able to do the kind of things that no human being can do. He's able to heal us with a word, with a touch, with his loving kindness. And think about it in his own life. Jesus himself died on the cross as our representative of humanity, died, took all of the brokenness on himself. He was shattered, body, soul, and spirit. Broken glass for us, paying the full price, paying the legal price of sin on the cross. And then raising from the dead, and in doing so, he proved for humanity's sake that it is possible for miracles to happen, that these human bodies can be restored back to wholeness, back to healing, back to health, our body, soul, and spirit. Jesus is the first fruits of a miracle in his own body that has opened the door to all the other miracles that have ever happened. I know in time he was the year that he lived on earth, but it was for all the miracles that happened in the past and all the miracles that would happen in the future. The resurrection is the turning point for humanity as a statement, God can do anything in your life and in mine. There is no sickness that wins. There is no death that wins. Satan and all his powers against us don't win. Separation from God the Father doesn't win. The burdens of the soul and spirit don't win. Jesus wins. We have an incredible Savior. So let's talk about healing for a few minutes. Healing spiritually. Let's talk about that. Jesus heals spiritually. In fact, Jesus takes sinners who were far from him, who were lost in their sin, who were enemies with God, had no ability to clean ourselves up, and he makes peace with God the Father for us. So Jesus heals us spiritually. There's a verse in Colossians 1, 19 through 20. We'll put this on the screen. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Christ. This is all in the context of a broader chapter about Christ's ministry. And through him, Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making, say it with me, peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, what is peace? Peace is now the absence of conflict and war, since we were enemies of God and we were at war in our souls with God. So that conflict is now ended, but that's not what all peace means. The Hebrew understanding of peace is to be put back together, to be restored, to be complete, to be whole. That's what Jesus' ministry is for us, even spiritually, that we are brought back together by his blood shed on the cross. That is a kind of healing for us. The Hebrew word, by the way, is shalom. It's wholeness, rightness, and completeness. So Jesus came to make us whole and right with the Father, restored to how things were before sin. That means Jesus brings us into right standing with God as though we had never sinned. Not only is the slate wiped clean of our sin, but now we have Jesus' fullness, Jesus' righteousness. What he has is ours. We're not second-class citizens of the kingdom. We're not stepchildren of God. We are first-class citizens, sons and daughters of God, just as Christ is the Son of God. We have the same standing and privilege. If you don't feel that way, perhaps you need to continue a journey of spiritual healing. Perhaps if you know that you don't have that, then you need to take the ultimate step of spiritual healing, which is to invite Christ now to be your Savior for all of your sin. As you admit your brokenness and say, I need you to wash me of my sin. I need you to put me back together. I need you to give me a whole new kind of life, and it's the life of Christ in me and for me, and receive him as your Lord and Savior. There's another offshoot here about spiritual healing I want to talk about real quickly, and that is that we have an adversary, an enemy, Satan, and all of his demons. There is a war going on that has actually been won at the cross and the resurrection, but they're still going to go down swinging until the day Jesus completely wipes them out. The battle has been won, but Satan's mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to distract us. He wants to make us ineffective, unpassionate, bound up in sin patterns. He wants to render us useless as children of God, and he's at war against us in our world. So there's another kind of spiritual healing we need. We need to be able to walk in victory from Satan. And Jesus has that power, and he's given that power and authority to you and I. We're going to talk a lot more about that in 2 weeks from now in our final message of this series, Transformed. But I want to plant that seed with you that perhaps there's badgering, perhaps there is affliction, perhaps there is bondage somewhere in between that Satan's coming after you, and Jesus wants to heal you from the war and wounds of Satan. We're never fully free from his attempts, but we can be free from his grip. And maybe you need that. Another kind of healing we want to talk about is emotional healing. We talked about it in the story with this man with leprosy. He had immense emotional pain and suffering. He had lost relationships. He had lost a sense of dignity and worth. He'd lost his hope. But Jesus was so gracious to heal that, wasn't he? Don't you love reading that about what Jesus did? And so many of us walk around in need of Jesus to touch that place in our own souls that's hurting and broken. Here are some indicators that perhaps you need emotional healing. Maybe in your life, it's hard to sit still. Because when you sit still too long, you remember things. Maybe it feels like your motor is always running. There's a low level sense of anxiety that's always there. That might be an indicator there's something under there that needs a touch from the Lord. Perhaps you feel like there's anger that's there and it's right under the surface and it's kind of lurking all the time and you're afraid that if something happens, it's just going to burst out and it does sometimes and it creates problems. There's a reason that's there and perhaps you need the Lord to show you what that is and to heal that in you. Perhaps in your life there's a sadness and you feel the weight of heavy burdens all the time. The Lord wants to touch something there. Perhaps you find that you're critical a lot, just judgmental about it. You talk about other people, picking everyone else apart. Maybe there's something in here. Maybe you find it hard to trust other people. Maybe you find it hard to trust God. There's something he wants to touch in your life. I want you to know Jesus knows all that's happened to you. He sees it, and he loves you. And he wants to bring that stuff to the surface. He wants to be able to speak into it. He wants to be able to touch that like he touched the man with leprosy. And he wants to set you free. Now, I'll say that doesn't always happen in one moment. It's often a journey that we walk through as we unpack those things in community with other people and as we pray through these things, as we walk in the Lord's presence daily and he begins to show us things and speak to us and all of that. Other times, there are times that he'll do more in 30 seconds than you could do in 5 years of growth. Because he speaks something to you or shows something to you, touches you in such a way that it just transforms you. Either way, Jesus wants to heal you. Another kind of healing is physical healing. We've talked about that as well. He doesn't always heal everything in our bodies. If he did, then we would live past 80 years. We'd live past 90 years. We'd live past 100 years. The oldest member of our church is 102. Mary Alice Beamer, she lives over at Messiah Lifeways. She's 102. None of us are going to last forever, though. These bodies, as we live in this world, it's a reality that we all have an expiration date. Amen? Okay. Amen. Let's go, right? But there are times when the Lord in his grace and mercy touches our bodies and heals us. And there are stories of people in this room who could say, yes, Jesus has healed me miraculously, divinely. I'm thankful for medicine. I think that's one way that the Lord has, that they're just figuring out the properties of things that God already created and how it applies to us. I'm thankful that our bodies heal themselves. That's a kind of healing as well, because when you cut your arm, it's going to bond back together and he heals. But there are times he breaks into this world and does instantaneous healings too. And I praise him for that. The same Jesus that could heal this man with leprosy and make it be gone in an instant is the same Jesus that could do that to you and me in our bodies. And in the midst of sickness, he comes close and he brings his peace, he brings his grace. Spiritual healing, emotional healing, physical healing. I want to invite up to the front, Zach Moore. Zach's just going to share a little bit about his testimony of how Jesus has worked in his life, how Jesus has brought healing to him, and it's going to focus on the emotional healing portion. Everybody say hi to Zach.
Hi.
All right, and I love the mustache. This is not his normal look, but no. Zach, why do you have the mustache like this?
So with it being November, I'm doing No Shave November. I told Ben Powell for weeks I was going to do it, so I finally got to do it. I will say I like to tell people that you know who your friends are when they tell you you have something in your teeth. Nobody has told me my mustache looks bad, so I'm kind of questioning my friendships a little bit. So my wife is maybe the only honest person in the room here. But
we didn't say it looked good.
Thanks, James.
Zach, tell us your story of broken glass. Give us a little window into your life as to what has happened to you.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So my story is one that's probably not too dissimilar from many of you. Grew up in a Christian family, went to Christian school, so I was in church all the time. This isn't necessarily a story about how I was saved, but really what Jesus has done in my life. So being in Christian school, growing up in kindergarten, I got glasses. We always had a school uniform with it being a Christian school. Probably wore my shorts a little higher than they needed to be. Was a really dorky looking kid. And because of that, I got picked on a lot growing up. And that was a really hard thing. Growing up, just like not really having any friends. I mean, I remember some of the mean things kids said to me to this day. Some of the people that I thought were my friends told me that they couldn't be friends with me anymore because they were starting to get picked on for hanging out with me. So those are some of the kind of things that I went through. When I got into sixth grade, and so I went from preschool all the way through 12th grade at my Christian school, and my parents prayed all that time about whether they should take me out of the school, and they felt like God was saying, no, this is where he's supposed to be. So sixth grade, all of that capped off with being in my Spanish class, still had glasses at the time, and the kids in my class drew a picture on the board of me. It was very exaggerated, had buck teeth, glasses, and they wrote guess who on it. And that was kind of like the last really hard memory that I remember from middle school. And during that time, I had suicidal thoughts. I thought about taking my own life just because of the things that I went through. All that to say, the Lord brought me to where I am today and have experienced a lot of healing.
Okay, I just want to pause you real quick. All right, so the picture on the board says, guess who? Everyone walks in the room and they know.
Yep.
Yeah, and you heard the comments, the laughter,
yep,
all those kind of things. Now, as Zach said, that he has a story that maybe you can relate to. It may not be the Christian school and those kind of things. It's this. If anyone in this room has felt that, where you are the one singled out, where you are the one who is laughed at, you're the one who's less than, and you feel about this big, right? I mean, I have parts of my story that are the same. I think we can relate to that. But when it's a stretch of years, some of you can relate to that too, where it was a prolonged theme. You couldn't get away from it. You carried deep, deep scars from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Jesus is our healer. How has he worked in your life and healed you?
Yeah, great question. There were a lot of things that happened after that. I won't dive into all of the details, but started finding in college that people liked me for who I was. Had a lot of friends in college, have a lot of great friends here. Last year, I went through CORE with Steve and a couple of the other...
A men's group that we were doing.
Right. I went through that with Steve and a couple of other guys, and CORE kind of wraps up with walking through steps to freedom, and it's a really great opportunity to kind of walk through your life, some of the biggest moments, the hard things you've gone through, the good things you've gone through, and really just kind of walk through that step, the steps to healing. During that, I shared several stories with Pastor Steve and Pastor James and shared this story with them, and then we kind of kept going. At that point, later into the steps to freedom, Steve asked me to close my eyes and we were going to pray. And he reminded me, I think the verse you shared was the reminder that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we were praying, and Steve said, think about one of those really hard things that you went through. So one of those times where those kids were picking on you. Now picture that. Now I want you to imagine where you were in that room, and now where is Jesus in that room? So I remember this was clear as day. I felt like I was opening my eyes to the scene of being in sixth grade, and I look behind me in the back corner thinking that maybe Jesus is standing there. But he wasn't standing there. Instead, I look to the front and at the whiteboard. He's got an eraser, and he's erasing that picture. And he says, that's not who I say you are. And for me, there's been a lot of things that I've learned since all of those things happened. But for me, that was like really closing out healing to like what God's done in my life and who he says I am.
When you say that, Zach, and Jesus says, that's not who I say you are. What do you now know that Jesus says who you are?
I would say, I don't know that there's necessarily one thing that I feel like God says I am, but I feel loved. I feel like God's made me to be who I am. I've more embraced who I am because of what God's done in my life. But I would say, most importantly, it's noticing the other people around me and the hurts that they're experiencing. And I feel like, how can I not share the healing that I've experienced, the hope that I have in Jesus Christ because of that? And so for me, it's just about sharing that with other people.
Yeah, and one last little cool note. God has kind of brought to you your mission, kind of clarified your mission for your life. And there's I don't know if you're, I'm putting you on the spot. Yeah, do you remember it?
I do.
Okay. What is the mission that you sense he's given you out of your story, the redemption, the healing that you've received? What is it?
Yeah, so I feel like my purpose in life is to show people that they matter to God, because through my life, I felt like at times I didn't matter, and it was God reminding me that I mattered to him that got me through, even if it felt like other people didn't see that.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Zach. Thank you. Every piece of broken glass, he sees it. He knows every tear you've cried. He knows every bit of suffering. He knows every difficulty. They say sticks and stones don't break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That, I don't know who came up with that. But Jesus is our healer for all things. We're going to take time here as we have heard God's word, and we want to put it into practice. And so around the room, there are different stations where we're going to have people, teams of people who have already been assigned to go to those stations. I invite you guys, if you're one of those, go to your, there's one in the back over here, there's one in the front here, there's one in the back over there, and there's two in this room over here. So there's five stations where we want to make available, if you want to be prayed for healing of any kind, spiritual, emotional, physical healing, we know that Jesus is our healer. We believe that. The scriptures teach that. This is not some wild and crazy thing. This is what is normal in the kingdom of God, that his children would come to him, one who has all power, who has all authority, who knows what we need before we even ask. But he tells us to ask. At each of these stations, there's at least one pastor or elder. And we did that intentionally so that if you know James chapter 5, it's a scripture that tells us that we can come to the elders for prayer and anointing with oil. If you would like to be anointed with oil, that is available at these stations as well. You don't have to do that, but if you ask, they will be glad to do that. The oil is just symbolic of the Holy Spirit who applies the work of Christ to us in our bodies and souls and spirits. And so they'll be glad to do that. There's also at least one female at each station so that ladies, as you go, there's a female who's going to be able to come alongside you and support you so you don't feel like you're outnumbered as well. And so we're just going to come before the Lord. If you want to go to a station here in just a moment, you can. But there's something for everyone to do, and there's some things on the screen. And I want to invite you to just take these moments. We're going to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you can work your way through these questions. We're going to put on some music. Go ahead, Ken, and put on the music. It's just going to play in the background, and we're going to just spend these minutes with Jesus. I want to pray and just give him this time. Jesus, you are our healer. And so we come to you with faith even the size of a mustard seed. Work in our hearts. Move in this place. Would there be power released from heaven for healing today? In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You can begin to move to these stations. If they're full, just wait. One will open up for you at some point. I'll be up here and I'll kind of indicate when there's a new one open. I'll kind of point to where there's availability. And we're going to keep these open even after we dismiss you in a little bit. We'll keep them open. We'll stay here as long as you need so you can be prayed for. Don't despair. There will be people available eventually for you. Let's spend time with Jesus.